How many of you were raised in homes that were absolutely devoid of any spiritual understanding of what Christmas is? This is Christmas, Christmas, you know? And as we get into this tonight, I just pray that the simplicity of the gospel will be a time of, like I said, of renewal, refreshing. This is a wonderful time. You know, and then you have the other extreme. You have people that say, no way, I'm not going to celebrate this. It's evil, the commercialism, I could go on and on. What greater joy than God becoming a man and coming into this world? If God never chose to do this, you and I would be lost. You know, the Bible says that this life has an end. What are you going to do then? We have a sheet out there called Your Decision. I don't know if you've read it or not. What are you going to do with Christ? You know, you go about this world and you do the best you can. You fend for your family. You make a career. You do all you can and you do everything you can to get along this life. Then this life is over. What then? What then will you do with Christ? God knew what he had spoken through his prophets, that Jesus was going to be born in a specific location at a specific time, and nothing was going to hinder that. What God says is going to come to pass. That's why he said a Christmas hope. If Jesus of Nazareth would have been born in Jerusalem, then we could not have been saved. People say, well, wait a minute, that's your interpretation. No, that's the Bible's interpretation. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, God specifically says, you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, you are the smallest among the clans of Judah, yet out of you and from you one will go forth from me to be ruler in Israel. And his goings are not from a week ago, a month ago, 20 years ago. His goings are from everlasting, from the days of eternity. So there's something here that we must pay attention to. And it came to pass that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. And, you know, there was many Caesars. You go back into chapter 3 of Luke. You have another Caesar. The reign of Tiberius Caesar. Caesar was the throne, if you will. There was a line of Caesars. It had to be a certain one at a certain time. Let me emphasize this too, that this one came for you and I. When we read this, this is how much God loves you. As he told through the prophets when he was going to come and die. And that's your and mine's hope. So God made it to pass that a decree would go out from this godless Caesar. That's what I love about God. He takes the things that are the most unlikely and he uses it to his glory. You remember, Satan always gets a mouthful of dust. Always. All the worlds are attached, all the known Roman world. And by the way, I think what's really interesting is in Daniel's vision, I'm just going a little bit off here, but remember Daniel's vision and the four empires. What's the last empire that's going to be revived? It's the Roman Empire. So, they're going to be taxed. Mary by now was ripe with child. Now, I may be mistaken here, but I believe it was about a 70-mile trip, maybe a little bit less, that they'd take from Nazareth to, you know, it was not an easy trip, okay? We didn't have Amtrak here or whatever. Probably went on a donkey, maybe possibly a caravan. Was not simple. Those of you who have been pregnant know that this wasn't simple. But nonetheless, Joseph went down from Galilee down south to Bethlehem, which, by the way, is we all know means a house of bread. And Jesus is the bread of life. Because it was in the lineage of David. Like I said to you, I want to quote exactly what this I want to start out with this prophet. You know, one of the most revealing things about the Bible being the Word of God, as we've talked about before, is fulfilled prophecy. The Bible is about 28% or so prophecy. Over 300 prophecies about the first coming of Jesus Christ have been fulfilled alone. There are more about His second coming that will be fulfilled. God said, O thou, again, Bethlehem and Ephrathah, thou though be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee, listen to this language, out of thee he shall come forth unto me. That shall be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been old from everlasting. So the Bible says he came down to David, or to Bethlehem, because Joseph was in the lineage of David. That's particular. So now not only do we have this Jesus of Nazareth coming down to Bethlehem to be born, now we see that the lineage that came through Joseph was of the lineage of David. So now we get down even more particular. Remember in 2 Samuel, God promised David, chapter 7, listen to this, when thy days be fulfilled, he's talking to David now, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy own bowels, and I will establish his kingdom, and his house shall be built for my name. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Wow. Jesus of Nazareth, an historical figure that, as Simon Greenlee says, you cannot deny the facts that this was a man that lived. It's attested to. So he comes down to Bethlehem. He's born in Bethlehem. And he's there at a specific time. In verse 5, who registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. Wow. How coincidental? You know, you can't get very far reading through the Bible and realize that God has everything perfectly under control. You can't deny it. Look at verse 6. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know what's amazing to me? All the Christmases that we've gone over this, and all the years that I've dealt with it myself, my own heart. You cannot see verse 7, the fact that there was no room in the inn. God did not set up carte blanche for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came in a hostile world, he was born in a hostile way, he was treated hostilely, and he's still treated hostilely today. There was no room for him in the end. And yet this one that there was no room for him in changes kingdoms, causes kings to rise and fall, causes the earth to rotate 23 hours and 59 minutes a day. It's amazing. And it came specifically for you and I, for nothing else. There was no room for him in the end. God spoke through his prophet in Isaiah chapter 7 about speaking about the firstborn. That's one thing that God, all through the Bible, for a sacrifice, had to be the firstborn. The lamb had to be the firstborn lamb without blemish, without spot. But listen to what God said through Isaiah chapter 7. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which interpreted means God with us. So now we're seeing that this Jesus of Nazareth came down at a specific time to Bethlehem. You know, his was not his biological father, but his father, Jotham, was from the lineage of David. We see that the prophet said that God promised David a son from his own, the fruit of his own loins, and the son would be a king and set up a kingdom forever. And he would be God with us. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. God sent his son. And God became a man. That is amazing. The wonderment of Christmas. I have talked to people that don't celebrate it because of whatever reasons, but yet they celebrate their kids' birthdays. You know, the kids' birthdays are a big deal, and they should be. God became a man at a specific time in history. Not a day early, not a day late. For you and for me. So she wrapped him in clothes, laid him in a trough, because there was no room for them in the inn. I said this a couple years ago, and I've always wondered since how much response I've gotten from this, and especially now that we're on the internet. Does he have room in your life? I mean, it's not the fact that we come here, every Wednesday and every Sunday, whatever. We hear this story so many times. I've been reading this story to my kids for years. You know, and you can't help but wonder why God chose this specific time in history to reveal himself for you and for I. So in the meantime, this is going on. There's shepherds in the field, verse 8. In the same country, they were out in the fields. That's why a lot of people believe that the actual birth of Christ is probably more in the early spring, if you will. Does it really matter? They're watching out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. The angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid. I would imagine they were. I was having a soda one day with Greg Jr. after school, and he asked a question that I still appreciate that. I think about it all the time now. We're talking about whatever, and he asked me if I've ever seen an angel or whatever. No, I haven't. But I'm sure it would blow me away, you know? Because you read the accounts of people in the Bible that have seen him, and there's a wonderment. And the angel said to them, can you imagine that? Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Tidings. The gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? What are good tidings? I bring you good tidings because I'm going to show you how to live a good life and you could be a good guy and everything like that. Or what is the good tidings? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that God became a man, came into this world to live that life of perfect obedience to the Father, which we could not, and yet go and die on a cross and suffer the penalty and pay the penalty for our sin and rise from the dead and offer freedom, the free forgiveness of life, or excuse me, forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all that would receive it. Glad tidings. Nothing new. The prophets were constantly proclaiming of there's going to be a coming one. There's going to be a coming one. And now the angels are saying to these lowly shepherds, not the CEOs, not the big shots of the world, but the common people. God comes to everybody, you and I. Like, who am I? You know? He comes to us. And he's constantly offering forgiveness of sins. Good tidings. Great joy, which will be to all people. How dare those that try to cut people off from accepting God's gift of eternal life? How dare those people that say, well, you have to be only one of the elect, because if you're not, it's too bad, you know. You just weren't born at the right time or whatever it may be. No, it's great joy to everybody, to all people. There have been some of the most hardened criminals known to man that have come to Christ. And God doesn't refashion life and make it better. He makes it brand new. It's a new creation in Christ. I bring you good tidings to all people. For there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He's the anointed one. He is the one that God sent specifically to die for the sins of the world. God, through his prophets, said something about himself, which is in Isaiah 43. Listen to this. This is most telling on who Jesus is. He said, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's God in human flesh. He's the Son of God. God the Son came down in this world so that you and I might not spend an eternity in hell away from God. I love that. Savior, who is Christ the Lord? And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly, look at verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace and goodwill towards men. You notice how the angels didn't say, glory to God to those that live a good life. It's glory to God. It's his salvation. We did nothing. He's the one that came down and procured it. It's a free gift. It must be received. Glory to God, verse 14 in the highest, and on earth peace. You know, there's been so many much talk about peace. The world needs peace. Yeah, the world does need peace, but individuals need peace. And apart from Christ, there is no peace. I don't care what you do. I know. I lived 22 years of my life, and most of you, and some of you, lived a lot longer than that. I just want to read a few things about peace that the Word of God says. Listen to this. I will both lay me down in peace, this is Psalm 4, and sleep. And this is all because Christ came into this world. It's all because he was born, and all because he grew up and he lived. And he grew up. And he was both God, the Son, but he was also fully man. So he says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou alone, only, Lord, make me to dwell in safety. How many of us and the people in the world can't sleep at night because they have so much worry and so much stuff on their head? And ultimately what it is they know at the end of their life they're going to have to be accounted for their life. And that weighs a little bit at a time. It's like the growing of a coral reef. You know, it takes years and years and years and years. And it starts, and you don't realize how the weight of that, knowing that you're going to have to give an account of yourself, weighs on you day after day, week after week. And then you have the pressures of the world and everything else weighing upon you. Christ came into the world. We celebrate Christmas because Christ came into this world. And look at, he not only saves us from sin if we put our trust in him, but look what he does. I want to lay down and sleep in peace. What's the fruit of the Spirit for the Christian? This is the fruit of the Spirit that lives in us. It's love, joy, peace, patience. Psalm 29 says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. This is what the prophet said about him. Isaiah chapter 26, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in you. Those are some of the prophets. We could go on and on, but listen to what Jesus said. John chapter 14, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. A few chapters later, John 16, he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus ascended to the Father. Listen to what his apostles say. Paul in Philippians 4, and the peace of God, which shall pass all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. Paul says in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll end with this. The same apostle says in Colossians 1, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. We need peace with God. We are separated from God because of our sin. And when we come to Christ, there is peace. God made peace. You know, you heard people say, well, when I make my peace with God, then I'll get right with him. You can't. God already made peace. And it's available to all as a free gift. All because Christ was born, as the prophet said, in a specific time. I love this time of year. It's the one time of year that we can pinpoint, you know, you see the sign, Jesus is the reason for the season. This is the reason. Peace with God. Every soul that has ever lived needs peace with God. And God has provided it in Christ for all that would receive it. And then after we become Christians, then we have the peace of God that passes all understanding. You know, many times you think, man, I should be right now crushed with the overloading burden of worrying and everything else. But I'm not, because I know that everything in my life Christ has in the palm of his hand. Wow. So he says that I bring you peace. Glory to God in the highest, verse 14. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them in heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has come to pass. God spoke to them and he used angels to do it, and now we're going to go see the fulfillment of it. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, verse 16, and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. I'll bet. Verse 18, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, and it was told them. How do I know that this is true? How do I know that this story is factual? You know, it's told everybody. I even knew most of the story. I was growing up, I was by no means a Christian. Never stepped foot in a church. Never heard the gospel clearly explained to me. You know, there are so many pinpointed things that they did to Jesus, and that's what we'll talk about a little bit more. I hope this is blessing you. You know, it's... You know, simply put, man is a created being, and by that very nature, he's accountable to his creator, whether he will admit it or not. And God wanted to remedy your lost and undone condition. Look at verse 21. When 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Remember when the angel came to Mary? How could this be? I've never known a man. They figured she was about 13 years old, 13, 14, somewhere in that vicinity. How could this be? I've never known a man. The shadow of the Most High will overshadow you, and the thing which was conceived in your womb is called the Son of God. Wow. had to be born of a virgin. Could not be born of a bloodline by a biological father, because then he would have had the nature of sin within him. He was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit, absolutely pure. He is the only one to ever walk this earth without sin. The only one. He is the Savior of all mankind. I can prove that that Jesus is the Savior of all mankind. I can prove that this is the Word of God. So he was circumcised. Most of us have had our kids circumcised. I believe that this form of circumcision was actually performed before this. Am I correct? But nonetheless, does God know what he's talking about? Absolutely. But again, we go back into his prophets. In Leviticus chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "In the eighth day of the flesh of his foreskin, he shall be circumcised." Leviticus chapter 2. Jesus was prophesied all through the Bible. God was saying that his people, the circumcision must be done on the eighth day. Look at verse 22. "Now in the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses," again, fulfilling of the prophetic scriptures, "were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." Remember her firstborn son? Wasn't her second? Wasn't her third? Yes, Joseph and Mary had other kids together. But Jesus was the child of Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was different. The prophets have spoke plainly and openly about that. There's no mistake about it. It says in verse 24, "And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Well, wait a minute. Without knowing the history of this and going to the prophets, you go, why is that in there? I'll tell you why it's in there. Because God said specifically in Leviticus chapter 12, verse 8, he said, "And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons. One is a burnt offering and the other is a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean." This was a poor man's sacrifice, if you will. God appeals to everybody. He has no class of people that one is better than the other. I love that. You add all these in here. This was done precisely to Christ. Precisely. Just as it was foretold in the prophets. How can I know? I know. More than my next breath, that this is God's word, and he fulfilled all that. And so I know everything that God's word says from now on out. Jesus is coming back. I know that. Because God has fulfilled hundreds and hundreds of prophecies. And he completes what he does. And he's going to fulfill everything. Even to the down to what they sacrificed because they were poor. Look at verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And when he had revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word.'" I love that. It's all according to his word. "For my eyes have seen your salvation." That is astounding words. "For my eyes has seen your salvation." Excuse me. That's astounding. Christ was born into the world so that you and I could be saved. Wow. Christmas. That adds a whole new meaning to it. We love to decorate. We love to do because of this. Sure, we love to see our kids get, things that we, appreciate getting them and whatever. But you know what? We decorate and we love it because Jesus Christ came into the world, Paul says, to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Wow, it's just amazing. I love it. So let's go on and we'll end here real quick. Again, so in verse 29, he says, now I can depart in peace because I've seen your salvation according to your word. Verse 31, what you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. This is the last prophecy I wanted to center on tonight. That is peculiar language. Simeon gets revealed these things. Look at verse 32 real closely. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. A Gentile is a non-Jew. Not only to their people Israel, but to all people. That means you and I. Listen to what God says through his prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 42. He says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thy hand and I will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. He not only came to fulfill all that the prophets have spoken. You know, we talked about many times, what is so significant about Israel? Why is there a nation Israel? Why did God have this nation be such a not only burdensome stone to this world, as is prophesied? There's a couple reasons why. God chose Abram, changed his name to Abraham, a father of many, of a multitude. And he says, I didn't choose you because of anything other than this. You were smaller than the clans of all the people. And I chose you because I choose to set my love upon you. And the privilege of this little nation of Israel was to not only pass the scriptures on, but that through the seed of Israel, the Messiah would come and be a blessing to the world, to you and I. And I'll just end with this. In Isaiah's prophecy, by the way, that's in Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 7 that I just read. He said, a light for the Gentiles to open the blind eyes. You know, our eyes before Christ are blind. Before I was a Christian, before I came to Christ, I didn't realize of my sin. I went on my life. I thought, everything was fine and everything was normal. And then God comes and he convicts you of sin. He shows you where there's sin in your life. To bring out prisoners from prison. You know, we're going to watch it tomorrow. I can't wait. This is something that my family carried on way when I was a little guy. We always watch Christmas Carol on Christmas Eve. And there's one part in there that is scripturally true. It was written by Charles Dickens. But in there, when Marley comes, remember, and he sits down with Scrooge, and they're talking, and Scrooge goes, hey, what's that chain, man? And he goes, this is the chain that I forged link by link all through my life. All through it. You don't even know it because you're blind. You can't see the sin in your life and what's shackling you down and what's hampering you down. Like I said, before I became a Christian, in my apartment, once in a while, man, at night, I would be so alone. And I'm not afraid to admit it now. And I'd be weeping on the inside, and sometimes it would show itself on the outside. And immediately I think, wait a minute, real men, and I'd go back. And it was God calling me and convicting me of that chain and that link I've been forging link by link all through my life. It's called sin. And if it goes beyond the grave of not having Christ as your Savior, you go into a place called hell, which is an absolutely frightful words have cannot even fitly describe it. And there's many ways in the Bible to describe it. So he's opened the blind eyes. That's what he's come to do. To bring out the prisoners from the prison and then that sit in darkness out of the prison house. You know, and it's all because a baby was born at a specific time in a specific place for you and for I. And I'll end with what Paul says that God's description of Jesus is, that God's indescribable gift. Don't leave this world or don't leave tonight without coming to Christ and receiving the gift of eternal life. Or else you're celebrating Christmas in vain. You're celebrating some time of the year that people use, that commerce uses to make money, people use it to party, you name it. The scripture knows nothing of that. Why don't you want to pray, please?
Father, your plan to redeem us is so brilliant, loving, and just. You are the one true, awesome God that gives peace to men. Thank you for this time of the year, for this great look at your word. Bless you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, Merry Christmas.
What's her?
No, it's not.